The Comedy of Errors, directed by Sean McGrath and played at the King's this year, is an absolute riot. It would probably surprise all of those who enjoyed much hilarity at the play that many people have started to write about it in a more serious vein. Dr. Emma Smith, for example, tells us that this play employs a lexicon of magic and the supernatural. It is striking that there are more mentions of witches and witchcraft than in Macbeth, more mentions of conjuring and magic than in Midsummer Night's Dream, and more references to Satan and the devil than in any other Shakespeare play. There's also quite a school of thought, seeing it as a bit of an existential crisis. There certainly is some of that in one of Dromio's bewildered, in a state of bewilderment so extreme that he actually questions his own existence. And there is a darker side. Luciana shouting at one point about self-harming jealousy rang true and reminded one of the jealousy throughout Shakespeare's career, and Othello and Winter's Tale came to mind. And of course, there's a lot of violence, a tremendous amount of violence on the two Dromios. Dromio of Ephesus, probably pronouncing that completely wrongly, I should have checked before I started this. Ephesus, that's better. Dromio of Ephesus saying, "I am an ass indeed. You may prove it by my long years. I have served him from the hour of my nativity to this instant and have nothing at his hands for my service but blows. When I am cold, he heats me with beating. When I am warm, he cools me with beating. I am waked with it when I sleep, raised with it when I sit, driven out of doors with it when I get home, welcomed home with it when I return," and so forth. You get the idea. A lot of violence inflicted on the Dromios. There's also the football metaphor, which pleases me just to hear football in the middle of a Shakespeare play. It always cheers me up. But again, it's quite sad. Dromio imagining himself as a football being kicked about, and he might as well be cased in leather. Yet, for all that I've just said, there was no real thought of these apart from the very occasional awakening of something more serious. There was not really many thoughts of these as I laughed myself silly watching the manic antics of the wonderful cast. I'm going to start with the Dromios because they're the thing that stick in my mind the most. Well, that's a bit of a thing to say considering we've got a courtesan and a Dr. Pinch to go yet. But I'm starting with the Dromios because I thought they were absolutely brilliant. Lindsay Huebner and Evangeline Beavan take a bow. You must be absolutely exhausted. It is a play with a tremendous amount of running and primarily by you two yelling at the tops of your voices as you go. I mention in my book one performance of A Midsummer Night's Dream at the same venue, and I said it had more running in it than an episode of Doctor Who. Well, this one had more running in it than 10 episodes of Doctor Who, or at least that's how it felt. I'm actually going to talk about Antipholus and Dromio as if they're the one person because they're all mixed up in my mind, which is part of the point of the play. So I'm sorry for the actors if you've done something particularly good and it gets kind of joint praise, but I kind of think of you, the four of you, as just being two people, really. So Dromios, yes, from the very beginning, the Dromios captured the audience. There was a great early report with Dromio on the standing on the bench, repeating and recounting what had happened and who had said what to whom, using his hands as kind of glove puppets. That was very effective indeed. And one thing I meant to say about the sort of beatings that the servants get, giving a darker shade to the play, one thing they did very cleverly here, a really nice touch, was that Dromio's fought back quite a few times. I like that because, funny though it is, the slapstick humour, seeing two people being beaten by their masters can get a little bit much. The delivery of some of the lines of the Dromios was fantastic as well. Just go and see it to hear them saying to a woman, "And I would not look so low." And if you know the play, you can probably guess exactly which point that is. It was very well delivered. And the Dromios ended the first half by telling us it was the interval and started the second half, which was a neat touch as well. It's going to be praised all the way through, as you probably guessed, because it's been a very successful play. It's got good reviews all round and it's got tremendous audience reaction, both nights that I was there anyway. And I'm presuming it's the same every night. Luciana and Adriana were very good indeed. Emma Longthorne, actually, as Adriana, brought a subtlety and depth that I'd never realised the character has. It's not actually a play I know that well, in as much as it's not the kind of play one studies by reading, or at least I don't. it really needs to be seen. And every time I see it, I'm laughing so hard that I can't really sort of study it in any scholarly way, shall we say. But I hadn't realised that the character had such subtleties and depths. While Rachel Oliver's depiction of Luciana being torn between her sibling duty to the sister that she does seem to love, and her lust for a man that she thinks is her sister's husband, but of course it isn't, is unforgettable. I love the dialogues between the two of them, really excellent. Actually, the way Emma delivers the word servitude in the line, "This servitude makes you to keep unwed," it's worth going to the play just for this one word, honestly. She also got a round of applause for spitting out a spectacular rant. Luciana has her own hilarious moments, and a very funny speech in the second half had everyone nearly laughing themselves silly. And then Adriana returns for another magnificent rant near the end of the play. It is a play of many a good rant. The play opens with Scott Loder as the Duke, very clear-voiced, very authoritative, sticking to the law even though he wants to help the hapless-seeming Aegean, brilliantly played by Ian Recordon. I was speaking about Henry V the other day and how it starts with a long speech. This is another play that starts with a very long speech of exposition. And Ian Recordon tells the story at some length. And it does go on for quite a long time, and he has to hold the audience. But it's not any difficulty for me, because I could listen to Ian talking all night. And luckily for me, he's got two other parts to play in this, so I get to hear him a lot. Adam Elms's beard is getting ever more extravagant. In fact, I could do with some of it for my head. He's certainly got enough to spare. And he was various parts. He was quite funny as Angelo. Actually, he was very funny as Angelo. But he absolutely brought the house down for his portrayal as of the lascivious courtesan. He's got to be the most hirsute courtesan there's ever been. His interaction with a male member of the audience has got to be one of the highlights for everybody who sees it. Last night's ended with a piece of body innuendo and was yet another part of the play that drew forth its very own private ovation from the audience. You can't help but feel sorry for the two Antipholuses, played here by Tim Atkinson and Stephen Horncastle, as they run about and get chased to distraction by coincidences, just missing people by a minute. Everything you get in this kind of comedy. A comedy which is probably Shakespeare's closest thing to the so-called Aristotelian unities, unity of action, time and place, which long-term CSF viewer Graham Hall pointed out to me long ago was not actually what Aristotle said, but what Aristotle was rewritten to have said much later. Anyway, this one more or less sticks to the same time in real life, as it were, as the action of the play. It batters along at an extraordinary speed. I'm not quite sure where everybody gets their energy from, but they just don't let the pace drop at all, not for a second. I was mentioning the two Antipholuses. They get a rant as well. I think it's Stephen Horncastle. I'm getting confused again. I think it's Stephen Horncastle who gets a quite spectacular rant in the second part of the play, which went down very well last night and the first time I saw it. I also shouldn't forget the tremendous comic turns of the Abbess, Susanna Gordon. It's very, very funny in that. And of course, we've also got the wonderful Pinch. Scott Loder again could hardly be more different from his character as a Duke. But then nobody's quite like Dr. Pinch, and the eccentric way he tries to exorcise the supposed satanic possession of Antipholus was just magnificent. There was so much going on at that point, actually, that it was really hard to watch everything. And of course, you could take your eyes off Dr. Pinch for a minute. And somehow you had to try and keep your eyes on all the other action that was going on at the same time, and somehow you managed. I was actually quite breathless watching it. Goodness knows how breathless the actors must be afterwards. There's a tendency in life to sneer at farces and think they're beneath, obviously beneath contempt, but that isn't really what I meant. Should be beneath your notice, that kind of thing. They're not worthy of your time. Well, if you like a good laugh, this one is really, really, really worthy of your time. I don't think anybody in the audience wasn't laughing. And there were actually gales of laughter emanating from them throughout. Tremendous work by everybody in the cast. Tremendous work, presumably, by Sean McGrath, because to get all of this running so seamlessly with so many confusions and coincidences and the mistakes made by the characters in the play. I mean, not mistakes by the actors. So many mistakes, coincidences, running about. The timing must be... I don't know how they do it. And one of the things I saw last night, I was sitting at the back last night, I was right down at the front the first time I saw it, and of course you get a very different perspective. And as I mentioned in the, about A Midsummer Night's Dream, when I was talking about that at King's, you can see the distance that the actors actually walk, or in this case, very often run. Huge sweeping arcs that they go around. Must keep them very fit. Well done to them. I hope to see it again before it finishes. If you haven't seen it, for goodness sake, go along. If you want a good laugh, you just cannot go wrong.